The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Are you ready for the word this evening? Amen. That prayer we prayed, or those prayers we made, are so necessary, not just, it's necessary, first of all, for the teaching we are going to do today, but it's also necessary, that it is part of your daily prayer life. You see, that you pray for souls. You pray for souls. It's one of the major proofs that you understand the redemption we have in Christ. If you understand salvation and understand how redemption works, you will pray for souls. When you do not pray for souls, it's one major proof, you see, that you do not understand salvation in Christ Jesus. Or even you don't understand it, that's the point. Because to start with, if you understand salvation, it starts from understanding the need for men to be saved. And if you understand the need for men to be saved, then you will pray for men every day. If you understand the need for men to be saved, then you will pray for the salvation of men on a daily basis. Amen. So today I'll be teaching, bringing a single message. Amen. Glory to God. John chapter 4. We're going to read the Bible this evening. So open your Bible. John chapter 4 from verse 1. So I'll wait for you to get it. So you're going to read together with me. I mean, do not read out with me, but be reading as I'm reading. Do you understand? You get what I'm saying? Don't just listen to me reading. Read on your own. Amen. Are you ready? When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Amen. Okay. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is it, or who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Now Jesus answered unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that said thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, okay, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The man said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Are you reading your Bible? Okay, that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, had any man bought him aught to eat? Glory to God. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and now that and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. Amen. Did you enjoy that? Glory to God. Did you enjoy reading the Bible? Do you read the Bible on your own? You know, it's just sweet to read. Sometimes I just read it. Like I always say, just enjoy the flow. Read it. Amen. So today, I'm bringing a simple admonition, maybe just a teaching too. You know, I titled it Soul Winning on the Go. Amen. Write it like that. Soul Winning on the Go. You know, they say you're doing this on the go. What does that mean? Huh? What does it mean to do something on the go? Huh? Are you people sure you know what it means? Say it so that you can feel it. Say so what does it mean? Huh? If you believe in yourself, raise your hand and answer. What does it mean to win souls on the go? Answer. You are correct. But how does it explain on the go? But it's correct. Amen. You see, I want us to, well, I'm going to be teaching from this John chapter 4, particularly. I want us to look at Jesus' soul winning, how Jesus was able to, you know, bring this woman to the Lord. You know, I'm going to study that. Soul winning should be the passion of every believer. That first thing we're going to see this story, we see in this story that Jesus had soul winning as a passion. It should be something that burns in your heart as a believer. It should be your passion. You know, you look at this John chapter 4, for instance, from verse 1. From verse 3. The Bible said he left Judea. I've explained this many times to you. He left Judea and departed into Galilee. So he left Judea, his destination. Give me like another translation of this verse 3. He said he left Judea and returned to Galilee. So his destination was Galilee. Right? And if you understand this well, it's not really a very far location. Just Judea to Galilee. But then verse 4 tells us that he must needs go through Samaria. And that's very serious. Like I've always explained to you. When the Bible said he must needs go to Samaria, what that simply meant is that he could have still gotten to where he was going to without going through Samaria. But he needed to. Give me another translation, like NLT. He had to. It's not like there was no other way to go. In fact, if you check the map, there were closer routes to where he was going to than through Samaria. It's like taking the long route. But the Bible said he needed to. It was necessary. The question is why? Are you following me? Give me another translation. He was necessary. That's what Amplified Classic said. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria. It was necessary. He could have avoided the route. He could have done another thing, but it was necessary. The question is why? By the time you get into the story, you find why. Because by the help of the Holy Ghost, he knew that he was going to meet a certain woman to preach to. So we are seeing Jesus taking a longer route to where he was going to, just because he was going to talk to one person. This road he took was very long, because by the time you get into the story, you find out that he was tired and hungry. He was tired and hungry. If I can give you a picture of how far that journey was, the Bible tells us in verse, verse 6, that they were there at the sixth hour. At the sixth hour. Right? What time is the sixth hour? I've taught you that now. What time is the sixth hour? What time is the sixth hour? It's 12 now, 12 o'clock, 12 noon. And so we don't know when they set out, but they possibly set out in the morning, and they were on that journey till 12. So they must have walked a long distance so that by 12, he was already very tired. So possibly they set out around 6 or around 7. Do you get the point? So by the time he was getting there by 12, he was already very tired. But it was necessary that he took that long route because there was one woman. And that's why I said soul winning should be the passion of every believer, even if it is to preach to one person. It should be a passion in your heart. It should be a passion in your heart. So he had to take that trip through that route to be able to meet that one woman. And I'll tell you that souls matter to God. Are you following me? Souls matter. Even this one soul is important to him. One soul is important to him. And you should see it that way. So if Jesus had to trek for 5 to 6 hours because he wanted to speak to one woman, then it was that important. And that's the same passion, you see, that should be in the heart of every believer. That should be the same passion. The same passion. The same passion. Are you following me? So he took that route to be able to meet that woman. And so this passion must be strong in your heart. So he got there, something I want to show you. He got there, he sat on that well, because the Bible said he was wearied with his journey. Give me another translation. He was wearied. My NLT. NLT said, Jacob's well was dead, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. So he was really very tired. So tired that he had to send all his disciples to go buy him food. I always jokingly say, who knows how tired he was to send all disciples, 12 of them, to go and look for food. But he was tired. He was hungry. But then came a woman. Now, I'm trying to show you something. Then came a woman. What state physically was Jesus when this woman came? Tired, weary, hungry. And yet, in his tired state, he began to minister to that woman. I wrote something down. I said, the passion for souls must be stronger than any other thing happening in your life at every moment. Now, Jesus didn't have everything perfect on the outside. He was hungry. He was tired. You know, there are people that are only serious with God or with soul winning when everything is fine. When they're not having it well, when they don't have food to eat, when business is not working, it's always, I beg, let me even find myself. Which one is preached to soul? Have I finished preaching to myself? Let me even know how I'm doing first. Jesus was tired and hungry. What I mean is, even if you are depressed, a believer shouldn't be. But even if you are depressed, your passion for souls should be able to be stronger than that depression that you feel. And that's the thing. It is when you get to this point that you can do ministry effectively. Because if you don't get to that point, the devil knows that once he throws any difficult situation your way, ministry will end until you are out of it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He knows that once he throws lack your way, ministry will pause until lack is over. He knows that once he throws depression, once he throws challenges your way, everything will pause. So, Jesus was hungry, tired, weary, exhausted from almost a 6 hours journey. Not with car, not with horse, or with donkey. Legged his bends. He was legging it. And yet, that weakness and weariness did not stop ministry. Passion for souls should be stronger than anything you are feeling on the outside. Anything. Like, it should be stronger than anything going on in your life at the moment. Are you following me? I'll say it again. If it is not yet so in your life, the devil knows the easiest way to stop you from doing ministry. He will just introduce something to destabilize your life and ministry will travel. Are you following me? Sometimes all he introduced will just be one bad news. One bad news. Did you hear that this other person, that place is sick? Did you hear that your brother's son or your sister's son at this moment is in coma, is about to die? Destabilize you just like that. And there are people, that's the easiest way that Satan gets access to their life. He just knows that once he touches the market and your business begins to go down, evangelism will travel. Every other thing will travel. So I beg, let me even go and preach, go and preach. Do I even understand myself? Let me get myself. Jesus was tired, he was hungry, and yet he was preaching. Are you following me? Go back to verse 6. Let me see how other translations rendered it. Bible said he was worn out. He was worn out. Right? I want to show you the states. So you can be worn out and still preach. It is passion that makes it so. You can be worn out and yet you're preaching. And so preaching the gospel is not something to do when everything is okay. Or let me put it this way. It's not what you do only when things are okay. It's not when you do what you do when you've eaten and you have been a fool. And you are looking, feeling very good. You say, hey, let's preach the gospel. Where are all those sinners? That's not the time to preach. It's what you do, whether you're hungry or you're tired. Your passion for souls, I'm saying it again, should be stronger than anything going on in your life at the moment. I said anything. Anything. Why I'm not making light of what you are passing through? I'm saying your passion to see souls saved should be stronger than anything going on in your life at the moment. Go read the story of Paul and how he will tell you the things he passed through in the course of preaching the gospel. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He listed what he went through. Verse 23. Give me that place. I didn't plan to read it. I just wanted to stay in this John 4, but we're already traveling. Amen. Verse 23. James Corinthians 11, verse 23. Glory to God. Give me like NLT. Look at the scripture. Look at the screen. He said, as are they servants of Christ, I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. And faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Say lashes. Not eyelash. 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys, faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. So Paul has faced robbers, right? Paul has been beaten. Paul has faced shipwreck. Shipwreck today can be called road accidents because they were traveling by sea those days. He had faced road accidents. Are you following me? I've faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty. So when people say things like, I'm just hungry. How can God ask us to serve him? All you care about in this church is evangelism. Evangelism. Did you ask me if I've eaten today? Paul, I've been hungry, I'm thirsty, I have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Yet there is someone who is not coming to church because his clothes, he doesn't have clothes. Because the clothes he is about to wear is the one he wore last 2 weeks. How can he repeat the same clothes? Praise Jesus. But Paul said he was in the cold and they have enough clothes to keep him warm. Now you see where I'm going to with this. He now said, this is what always catches me. He said, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for this. How can I be passing through all of this? And he said, you still have burden for the churches. Most people going through all of this that he mentioned will say, I don't have time for any church now. Let me face myself. He said, I still carry on me the daily burden of the churches. He said, besides all this, give me like I'm very classic. He said, besides all this, he said, besides those things that are without, that is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety for all the churches. So with everything he was passing through, they were not strong enough to replace his passion for ministry. Passion for soul winning should be stronger than anything happening in your life at the moment or at any moment. Even on the days when things are not fine. So you see Jesus gets to the well, tired, hungry, weary. But here was a woman coming who needed salvation. And he ignored you. It will interest you to know that Jesus was so passionate for souls that when they finally brought the food to him, he refused to eat it. You saw it, Abby. He told them, I have food to eat that you don't know of. In other words, he was telling them, I was very hungry before you guys left. Between when people left and now, I just got somebody saved. I'm full. And I tell you, this is not figure of speech. If you ever get someone saved, sometimes you will not want to eat. The joy can be so much. Do you know there are times we finish programs in this place, let's talk about meetings, and we have so much move of the spirit. I just get home hungry and tired, but you're just reminiscing over the whole meeting and you're not even thinking of eating. Ministry has that kind of satisfaction. It has it. It has it. I'm telling you. So they say, I have food to eat. So they were now wondering, who brought him food? Once I saw this story, actually, when I read it again and again today, was Jesus' consecration and manner of life. The Bible said when they came back and saw him talking to a woman, they were shocked. We didn't get a limit. Like they were surprised. But upon this, they marveled. Give me like NLT or Amplified. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask. Do you understand the point? There's a lot I can say about this verse, but that's not my focus today. But that was strong consecration. It tells you it's not someone that you could see anywhere standing around with women. So when they saw that one, they were like, yeah. Glory to God. And it was very instructive to me today. Right? Very, very instructive. It wasn't someone that you could just find everywhere. Even I'm very classic. But I can see it very well. The Lord just, he said, just the disciples came and wondered. They were surprised, astonished to find him talking with a woman, a married woman. So it was strange. So Jesus had a manner of life. Are you learning what I'm talking about? He had a manner of life that he wasn't someone you could find in some corner places with women. So when they saw him, it was like, This one is shocking, though. Why is Oga talking to Paul? They have so much honor, they didn't want to ask him. Two things about this. It talks about Jesus' consecration. But you know what else it talks about? It also shows you that when you follow, you shouldn't be in a hurry to draw conclusions. Because they were in a hurry, they would have said, Jesus of Nazareth. Chakam. So that not tomorrow you say I did not talk to any woman. I have it. There's a lot of lessons. So they had it crossed their mind. You know, you are human now. It will cross your mind. It crossed their mind, but they were like, okay, let's just sit and observe. Of course, at the end of the day, they saw that, okay, this was soul winning taking place. But you know, just at first glance, it looked like this man does talk to a woman. What is he doing with a woman? So sometimes actually asking questions or just sitting down to observe more will help you. Amen. But end point was Jesus preached to this woman. He had passion for souls, you know, and then the passion he had for souls was stronger than anything that was going on in his life at the moment. It was stronger than hunger. It was stronger than weariness. It was stronger than tiredness. His passion to see souls won was stronger. That's what should be happening. So that's the lifestyle a believer should carry. That's out of a believer. And something else we learn from this, I'm still talking about the fact that just a believer should have passion for souls. This wasn't a planned evangelism trip. Jesus was just sitting there. That's why I called it soul winning on the go. You shouldn't only win souls when it is evangelism time. Now, you shouldn't ignore that. Right? You don't have evangelism. You should actually do evangelism. If you're not actually stepping out of evangelism, you're not actually a soul winner. Because that stepping out of evangelism at those scheduled times speaks of intentionality on your own part. It shows you're an intentional soul winner. Just like prayer. You shouldn't only pray when there is prayer time, but you should have prayer time. Are you following what I'm talking about? So having prayer time speaks of intentionality on your part. So when we say there is a scheduled evangelism, scheduled whatever, you should actually be available. But what I'm saying is that your soul winning should not be limited to that. And the reason is this. I'm going to give a very simple reason. The reason is because, you know, if the only time you win souls is within those times you've scheduled, think of a whole week. A whole week has how many hours? You're talking about 24 hours times 7. Let's assume you even do evangelism 2 hours, maybe 2 days in a week or 3 days in a week, 2 hours. If you do 3 days in a week for 2 hours, that is 6 hours out of how many hours within the week. The point is, the bulk of your time will not be spent preaching the gospel. I feel what I'm saying. So if you limit your soul winning to only those times when we say it's evangelism time on Saturday, it's evangelism time on Monday, you will still not have the required result. See, if the only time you win souls is the few hours you've dedicated to it, you are losing many hours. That's what I'm saying. Because the bulk of your time will not be spent on soul winning. You will definitely spend the bulk of your time on regular activities. Activities like school, like traveling, you know what I'm saying? Like work, like doing things. That's what will take the bulk of your time. You must learn to inculcate soul winning in your everyday activity. That's what I want to show you. You know what I'm saying? The bulk of your time will be spent on regular activities, day to day. You know, you went to the market, you bought something. You are here today doing church. But before church, possibly you've gone to like 5 places. Some of you came from school. Some of you came from work. You're going to spend 3 hours or so in church now. Then you leave. You're going home. You're going to get on a bus with some people. Get home. Tomorrow you're going to start working. So you find out that actually the bulk of our time, no matter how serious we want to schedule evangelism, the bulk of our time will be spent doing every other thing. like work, like school. So the wisdom of God is that apart from those scheduled evangelism time, you should learn to incorporate evangelism in your everyday life. An example is Jesus here. He didn't plan to preach that day. Like, get the point, it wasn't an evangelism trip. Now somebody would have said, but you said he took that route because of that woman. I'll tell you what I think. I believe it was impressed strongly in his heart to take that route. Because the Spirit of the Lord knows that he was going to meet that woman there. You know, sometimes that can happen to you. You can just have that impression in your heart to go this route. Every day, I want to say this to you. Every day you want to enter this bus. I want to teach you something. You want to enter this bus. And the Spirit of the Lord says, no, enter this other bus. Or you want to take this route. But God said, no, take the other route. Don't always think and believe that it is because there is danger in the other route. It's not how a believer should always think. It means you are becoming too conscious of evil. Most of the time that God will redirect your steps like that, it will be that you might win a soul. I can show you many in the Bible. This is one example. I can show other examples where God will say, well, don't go here. For instance, Philip finished in Samaria. The Spirit of the Lord took him to a certain place to be able to win a soul. Right? When Paul then wanted to preach in other places, the Spirit of the Lord stopped them and directed them to Macedonia to be able to win a soul. There are a few occasions where God will redirect you for the purpose of to keep you safe. But once God redirects your step like that, start thinking as you are moving, why did God bring me here? There must be somebody on that route most times that he brought you for. That was Jesus' case here. I feel what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about. So he didn't. So my point is, it wasn't a scheduled evangelism. It wasn't, let me go to this place and we just. The disciples went to buy food. He was even tired. You must learn to win souls, to be involved in soul winning on the go. On the go, anywhere and everywhere. In the office, as you get on a vehicle going home, as you're playing football, in that place you go to watch football, in all those, you must. Something was happening at every time. If you want to be an effective soul winner, soul winning should become part of your life, your daily living. In your office, it shouldn't be limited to only when there is evangelism time. So I'm saying, be soul winning conscious and soul winning ready everywhere you are. I say it again, be soul winning conscious and soul winning ready. In other words, be conscious of the fact that I can meet a soul anywhere. And then you should be ready for it at all times. At all times. So when you get on a vehicle, apart from the fact that you are going from here to Kariki, you should also know that I can win a soul in this vehicle. If you carry that consciousness everywhere with you, you're going to have many results. Because there are many people that the Lord will have you win that you might not meet when you go for your regular evangelism. While you are seated in your office, be soul winning conscious. Those days I used to tell my friends that are in school, you know, in UNN, particularly, I don't know, UNN, they change their hostels. They change your hostel every year, right? And they change your roommates, right? I think there used to be 6 those days in a room. Is it still like that? 4 now. People this day in the hostel, there should be 6 or 4. So I used to tell my friends, I said, whenever you want a new session is coming, one of your prayer points should be, Father, as I apply for this hostel, put me with people that I will bless their lives. Let the connection work. That is being soul winning conscious. And even though we're going to get into this room regularly as roommates, but Lord, my desire is that you get me in the same room with people that I will change their lives. When you want to move into a new lodge, be soul winning conscious. When you want to move into a new office, they changed your office, gave you new partners. Before you think of everything, think of soul winning. I tell you, one of the easiest ways to be soul winning conscious at all times is to pray for souls always. If you learn to inculcate souls in your daily prayer routine, there is no way you pray for something every day that you will not be conscious of that thing every day. Simple logic. If you pray for a matter every day, you know why many people are very money conscious? They pray about money every day. It's not a bad thing. So what it does to them is, because you pray about money and business every day, what has been happening to you is you tend to see a business opportunity in everything. Does it not happen to you?
If you pray about money and business all the time, if someone is talking to you that these people, they don't have life, you're already thinking. If we go down and build NEPA office. Yeah. It's one of the things that you'll be able to see opportunity in everything, because that's what they're just praying about. The thing about it, you know, prayer involves your emotions. Prayer brings the two most powerful parts of your body together. Your heart and your tongue. These two are the most powerful parts of your body. How did you get saved? You believed in your heart, you said it with your mouth. These two, heart and tongue, have the power to change your entire life. So someone is unsaved. How will he get saved? Let him bring his heart and tongue in agreement to say Jesus is Lord and all of that. He's saved. Someone wants a change in his career. We ask him to pray. How will he pray? He will pray with his mouth. What should he do when he's praying? He should believe with his heart that what he has prayed will happen. So heart and tongue is so powerful. So in prayer, you are bringing your heart and your mouth to be in agreement over a matter. So if you do that over something every day, you become more conscious. That's why we normally tell people, when someone hurts you and you want to be able to forgive the person, pray for that person. If you pray for that person every day, you cannot harbor something in your heart against the person. Especially if you are wishing the person good, not pray for the person to die. Every day you pray, Father, this somebody hurts you. Imagine somebody hurts you every day. You go to prayer and say, Father, I observe that this sister, you know, has just been wearing one shoe. I think she's going through a lot. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying that you provide for her financially, that her business, that I see her posting all the time, will flourish, that she will do well. You do that for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. The next day you come back, Father, in the name of Jesus, her studies, she will come out the best in her class. Maybe you guys are in the same class. But they are praying that she comes out the best in her class. You do that for a very long time, there will be no space. That's why whenever I ask you to pray, I always tell you not to murmur it, say it. Speak the prayer. So that your mouth and your heart will agree. Now, if you do that with souls every week, every day, you will be conscious of anything you pray about. So, I'm teaching you something. You want to be soul-winning conscious. I'm teaching you how to win souls on the go every day. If you practice what I'm telling you, you can actually win a soul every day. Every single day. Start with praying for souls every day. When you wake up in the morning for your morning devotion, take 15, 20 minutes to pray for souls, that they will be saved, that they will come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they will know the Lord. Pray, 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 pray. Then do pray about other things. Do that daily. What happened that the passion for souls will keep rising in your heart, and the consciousness of soul winning will remain in your heart. Are you following me, friends? That's why occasionally in church we need to pray that prayer. That's why every time we have prayer drive, we need to pray that prayer. That is a reason. Because the more you keep praying it, the more aware, the more conscious you become. Are you following me this evening? So Jesus was conscious. That's also why when you travel around, you carry so many materials. That's why you travel around when we were younger, before phones came and all of that. When we were younger, every day, I can tell you, first day, second day, every day I'm going to school, I carry my Bible. Whether it's fellowship day or not. You know why? I'm conscious of the fact that I can meet anybody to preach to the person. I said, every day, I carry my school bag and my Bible. That's why as you move around, you carry soul-winning materials. Carry your tracts. Be ready and conscious about soul-winning. If you get into my car, I have tracts in my car every time. Every time. I can finish buying fuel from you. No, that one is normal. Once I buy something from you and interact with you small, I'm going to give you tracts. And a few persons have come to church through that. And I tell you, it's something, it's a consciousness that I can win souls at any time. Let me tell you something. If you're a pastor, as God grows you in ministry, especially somebody that in ministry, if you are not very careful, you will stop winning souls. See what I told you? You can get so busy with administrative things. You know, do you know how many meetings I have sometimes in 1 week? There are some weekends I have meetings on Friday, have Friday all night, have meetings just to be to plan things. And then I'm always moving around, doing things. If you're not careful as a pastor, the Lord was warning me about this sometime, some weeks ago. If you're not careful, you will stop winning souls. Because you can get so busy. That time they say soul winning time in church. You are busy having one meeting or doing counseling.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Or preaching somewhere in one church. So how do you ensure that you are always winning souls? Be on the go. Win it on the go. Carry your tracks everywhere. Be ready at all times. At all times.
Are you following me, friends?
At all times. You must be soul winning conscious and soul winning ready. Every time you want to get on a vehicle, why don't you pick tracks from the information desk and have some of it? So that as you get on the car, you interact with somebody, how are you? You preach to the person, give the person a tract.
Praise God. So let's get back to Jesus and all of that. So he was conscious of souls. Now, look at the first thing he did. He first asked the woman, give me water to drink. I don't think Jesus was, he was thirsty, quite all right, okay? But if you read the story, the woman didn't let her give him water. What was he doing? He was looking for a common ground to initiate a conversation. That's how to win souls. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're sitting in the vehicle together and we're just moving. And I just say, how are you doing? He said, fine. You are going to Nsukka. He said, yes. Okay, me, so I'm going to Nsukka. What's happening in Nsukka? You know what I'm saying? Just to give a common ground to start a conversation. Amen. So he just said, give me water to drink. The woman said, water, you Jew, me Samaritan, I should give you water to drink. The man said, I can give you living water. The man said, yeah. Where will you get the rope to draw the living water from? To already talking. But watch what Jesus did. He initiated a conversation using a common ground. It can be anything. It can be anything. You're a doctor or you're a nurse. And the person also talking to you, notice that she's wearing lab coat or whatever. So you're a doctor and he said, no, I'm not anyone. So which one are you? I'm just a lab scientist. He said, okay, old man. Did you guys do biochemistry? Say yes, a very, very easy course. You can find a common ground. But Jesus didn't stay long there because that's the problem. Because remember, your purpose is not to make a new friend. I feel what I'm saying. That's not the intention, just to make a new friend. Because you guys can just go and begin to argue and observe the wisdom of Jesus. Every time that woman tried to drift that conversation to something else, he brings it back to the gospel. He first said, give me water to drink. He said, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, I can't give you water. He just said, I can give you living water. He said, do you have water? What to fetch water with? The woman said, are you trying to say that you are better than Jacob? You see the argument she wanted to get into? That they will start fighting who is better, Jacob or Isaac? Jesus said, well, it's not about Jacob or anybody. As the woman now went again. Say, if you worship God in the other mountain, who will worship in this mountain? She was trying to move the conversation. Jesus was bringing it back to the topic. That's big wisdom there. So when you get there, once you find a common ground, so look at how I do. Hello, good evening. Anything, I can talk about anything. It can even be, I like this your shirt too. He said, thank you, sir. This is original. He said, it's not original. It's about. He said, are you serious? He said, well, my name is Henry. He said, I actually want to share the gospel with you. I go direct. Why you go direct is so that you make sure that your intentions or motives are not misunderstood. For instance, a man, you want to make sure the woman doesn't begin to think, you want to check me. You want to ask me. Because this woman that has had 5 husbands, there was a way Jesus would have talked long with her. He said, you want to be the sixth one? Do you understand the point? So you go direct like that. I want to preach the gospel to you. I just want to share the word of God with you in a short time. The person will hardly say no. Because you've initiated the conversation. You guys have talked for like 1 minute or two. You know, you guys have familiarized with each other. I just want to share the gospel with you. Just a short time. That it works all the time. That we are in the office and it's break period, and at this place in the office we normally go to have lunch during break. Want to just take one or two, just find common ground. Oh boy, did you present that report? Say, now this manager say they just won't kill us with work. He said, well, I just want to share gospel with you very briefly. The person cannot say no. Hardly will say no. Because we have talked. Even if it is for 30 seconds. We are friends now. I'm no mere stranger. That's the truth. We have talked.
So you find a common place that you normally teach. Be direct with the gospel. Be direct. Don't say, I just want to share a few things. Don't do moral instruction. Don't advise the person. Preach the gospel. And what's the gospel? Very direct. The fact that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Go direct. I don't want to share the gospel with you. Say, preaching. The person might try to shift these other things. The person might say, okay, what church do you worship with? You say, Papa, I've not heard of the church. I worship with Jehovah, Sharp Sharp. You say, do you like our church? The person might try to say many other things, but then you're bringing the Bible. I just want to share the gospel with you. Do you know you can preach a powerful gospel in 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on how much time you have, because that's the wisdom again. If you notice that you guys got on a vehicle at Gariki and the person is going to alight at P&T, if you're in Enugu, you know what I'm talking about. That's not the time to begin to do exegesis and begin to say, okay, to start with, the word salvation. Before you finish, there's a couple. Do you understand? Now, I've seen that happen many times. People get on a vehicle to preach, and they say, in Jesus' name, let's pray. And they begin to, someone preach to us from Nsukka to Enugu. I'm not joking. Nsukka to Enugu is like over 1 hour. And he's using public transport. Just kept preaching, 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 preaching. People slept, they slept, they woke up. They almost felt like saying, will you stop this rubbish you are saying? You should just be wise. I'm not saying your message should be 2 minutes. As much time as it allows you, trust the Lord that, you know, I've taught you, if you read the book Caruso, I made this point. You can come with any approach. Well, make sure you preach the gospel. You can come with any approach. Amen. You can come with any, you can just start, you know, someone share the gospel, they say, okay, fine. So, you know, I was thinking, how do you think a person can become righteous? You already laid the foundation. You already flowing. Because, man, I've checked. The Bible even says no one is righteous. And righteousness is not easy. I can even come with heaven. How do you think a person can even make heaven? Because this heaven are healthy. You know, you've made a foundation. Let the person see that actually with works it can happen. But when you put your faith in, you have entered. Start preaching. Go direct like that. Evangelism is not time to do moral instruction. If the person is wearing short skirt, don't talk about it. I get the point. If the person's gown is short, don't talk about it. If the person is smoking, don't talk about it. That's not your business. That is your business after the person has become born again and you now want to disciple the person. I get what I'm saying. Your aim at that point is to get the person to believe the gospel. Because the problem is we go to do evangelism and we start doing follow-up. And point is, you are following up people who are not even born again. So you are demanding things. Because when you are asking a non-believer not to wear trousers, not to wear short skirts, not to do whatever, you are actually demanding from the person what the person cannot offer. Because what helps us live right is the life of Christ in us. Is the Spirit of God in us. And it is salvation that brings that Spirit of God into us. So when you are making those demands, they will feel you are judging them. You know the same things I can tell you in church here, and you receive it well. You can tell an unbeliever outside, the person feels bad that you are judging. You can walk into this church wearing a short skirt. I've done this so much, I say, well, that skirt is too short. Sometimes it's even more and more, any of these leaders that will call you, and you say, it's true, sorry man, I will not wear it again. It's not a problem. Do you know why? We are demanding right living from you, whereas there is already the Spirit of Christ inside of you. Respond with what you are saying. Now go to the streets, tell somebody along the road and tell the person you are wearing short skirt, you will die. They say, is it your clothes? Did you buy clothes for me? If you like the laughs, say you like the laughs. Don't be pretending. I've seen things, yeah. You know, try to be judgmental with your message, you will not change anybody. Be direct with the gospel. The gospel is so sweet in news that it is difficult to refuse it. In fact, 98% of the time, when people refuse the gospel, it's because they've not understood it. The gospel is so sweet that if you understand it, you can't refuse it. When we tell you about what Jesus has done, and all you have to do is to come and receive his life. He has given you righteousness. He has saved you from hell. He has paid for all your sins. I get the point. He died on the cross to rescue you from the bondage of sin and Satan. All you have to do is to believe in what he has done. It is so sweet a news that it's only someone that has not understood it that can refuse it. That's why people that reject the gospel, there is no other hope for them, because the news is too sweet. And so you go direct and preach like that. Everywhere. Every time. So don't stay too long in the pleasantries, trying to familiarize yourself. You know, sometimes the common ground may be football. Imagine the person wearing a Chelsea jersey. He say, Chelsea Blues. He say, I also a Chelsea fan. I say, no, Chelsea care. I'm not a Chelsea fan. Person will say, which club? I fan Tottenham. He say, you are bringing him out for us. Tottenham, blah, blah, blah. 3 minutes, 5 minutes. He say, well, all these football things. Anyway, my name is Henry. I just want to, I just need like 5 minutes of time to just share the gospel with you. Are you following me? You'll be so shocked at how many persons you can get saved on the go. Just walking along the road. Just buying. Do you know sometimes, why do you carry tracts? This is where tracts come in. Tracts should not replace preaching the gospel. But there are people that you can meet in certain places where you cannot begin to preach to them immediately. Maybe you are driving, you are buying fuel at the fuel station. You can't park and begin to preach the person, the fuel attendant, preach. I get a point. But you carry tracts. Maybe give person, please, do me a favor. Please read this. Do you understand? There's a sister. Okay, she comes here every Sunday for now. How did we get her? We went to buy clothes. My wife and I went to buy clothes. And as she was choosing the clothes, I pulled out my tract. I said, good evening, sister. Say, because we really spoke well. That's why sometimes as a believer, you should have a cordial relationship with everybody. When you get to buy things or to interact with people, everything is not quarrel. After you just go, this month is what I sell in 2,000. People can lie. But after you finish quarreling, you say, I want to preach the gospel. You're not going to have results. So that's why you get to some places. Just have that cordial flow. Do you get the point? Because you are thinking of soul winning. That's another one we ministered to. What were we buying that day? Corn, yes. You know corn. We are buying corn. And after I say, this is your corn. It's sweet. That. I follow the point. That's why you carry tracks. In other words, you are conscious of it. You are saying, okay, I wish I can preach to this girl, but since there is no time for that, take this tract. And see if you can get their contact and all of that. I want you to make sure that every time you are moving, you are sitting in your office, you are sitting in your class. It might just be after a lecture, and they're waiting for the next lecturer. You just tell the person, say, this PCT 402. You know, this course is put in school. Boy, did you understand anything that man was saying? But he said, don't mind that. I just talk. Just come and talk. He said, anyway, can you just give me a few minutes? I want to share the gospel with you. Be conscious of it. If you try what I'm saying, sometimes in a week, you've randomly ministered to up to 7 to 10 people without actually knowing. And especially, I want to say this to you. Actually, if you are in a profession that allows you to meet different people. I personally think that if you're a cab driver, you should have tracts in your car. And you give people that enter your car. Because it affords the opportunity to meet many, 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 many people. And that's why, again, a believer must have cordial relationships. You can't be the banker who is working at the counter in the bank and you're the one giving people fire for fire. Whereas you should be thinking of soul winning. He said, madam, please go and sign that document in that place. I've told you, we don't sign documents here. How many times should I say it? No. And after he said, I want to share the gospel with you. You are your gospel. Now, I'm saying, sometimes we take the things we take on the street because we have a bigger aim. Sometimes we try to, when people are trying to quarrel, are trying to come because there's something you're targeting. I wish you can carry this conscious everywhere you're going. That I want to win a soul today. I want to win your soul. So when the person entering the office says, I want to win your soul today. Say anything the person is doing, you're just smiling. Say, too fast, let me win your soul.
Glory to God.
So, a soul winner is not that person that only wins souls when it is evangelism time. A soul winner is active and ready on the go to be directed to the gospel. And something else to learn from Jesus, he used very familiar language. I wish I had time to explain this further. He was talking about water. See the illustrations he used. Very familiar with the woman. If you check the previous chapter, which I'm not going to have time to do today, that's John chapter 3. You will see Jesus preach the gospel again to Nicodemus. If you check John 3 and check John 4, you will see the gospel preached, but you see two different languages used. In John 3, Nicodemus was a religious leader, a scholar of the Old Testament. So see the term Jesus used, he must be born again. He must be born of water and born of the Spirit. You cannot enter kingdom. Now when he met that Samaritan woman, he did use all these terms. He just said, I will give you living water. And when you drink, you will test just what she was used to. That's why evangelism is not a place where you flex Bible knowledge. Right? When you start saying, it's just like, let me explain it to you. It's just like you, because somebody's going to tell me, so about you teach us with those Greek terms, I should. Just like some of you that are doctors. When you get to medical school, they teach you with all the names of these bones. What's the name of the bone here? Gene, gene, whatever. The name, you know all those things. Right? You know the names. But when you are dealing with a patient, do you understand? You don't begin with, what do you tell the patient? Your fibula is, you know, you can't, the person, okay, what is wrong with me? You will try to communicate with the patient the simplest way the person can understand. Abi? So, that's the thing. In your learning, in church, we can use different terms, we can explain so that you understand what you're saying. When you get out there to communicate, that's not the place to start using Greek and Hebrew. Just direct simply with the gospel that Jesus died for your sins. That's not when you begin to tell them the word righteousness is the word diakonia. Diakonia, I mean, leave the diakonia. Just tell them that when you come into Christ, he makes you righteous. And that righteousness is not just about what you do. It's about a nature he gives you. That righteousness qualifies you to be his child. That righteousness qualifies you to be a candidate and a citizen of heaven. As simple as that. As simple as that. I can explain to you, you know, that heaven is not a place. Heaven is all those things. It's not needed. Do you understand? Heaven is spiritual, is physical. The sinner doesn't want to know. He just wants salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, as simple as that. That's why when you guys come for LMP, I can teach you, take you on. But you see, if you see me on the field trying to win a soul, you won't hear all those. You would not even know that I know those things. Do you understand? Because sometimes why you teach that way is because you are teaching in English. If you have to preach in Igbo, you won't speak like that. Ever preach in Igbo? Or your native dialect? You know, that's some of you need to learn to. All of them just speaking English. Learn how to speak in Igbo. Amen. Have you preached in Igbo, sir? What are you saying? How does that start ministry? Village to village. In Igbo. Jesus na Zopota. Omoro onwuni higi. Kiwe mwendwe bihebi. Oburu ni itinyo kukwe gini meya. Oge meki iburu onya amorozo. I can preach this thing for 1 hour, actually. And because Paul said he became all things to all men. That if you meet someone, it needs preaching in pidgin English. Do you know the thing? Jesus, there are three languages you actually find Jesus. In these days, the major thing Jesus spoke was Aramaic. And like I've taught you, Aramaic is the everyday market language. That's the way it's meant. It's like pidgin English. It's a pidgin version of Hebrew, something like that. You get the point? And that's what he preached with. He spoke with. So if he demands, so do you think Jesus will meet that woman by the well and start opening dictionary? So if you need to preach in pidgin English, Baba Afana. Maybe the pastor doesn't understand English or anything. You know, this Jesus, he go give you life. Whether you are speaking it well or not. The person is just getting one message that you are trying to come down to his level to communicate. You don't have to know everything. So that's when we go to mission field to preach. Those days we started, you are preaching in English and Igbo. The person is just smiling at you and pitying you. So Jesus, you are thinking of what is cross. Nelu cross. Can we zopotage and give you life, baby. The person is just smiling. He's just wondering. He's just pitying you. But the message you are sending to the person is, I want to be able to talk with you. I need this thing badly. Please respond. Have you ever preached to anybody in Igbo here? So that you record yourself and listen to yourself. He wants to give you life, baby. So that big abo, a born again child of God. Glory to God. But you know the thing, whether we speak it in English, in Igbo, or in Pidgin, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It will hit anybody, whatever language you use. You know, when I started going to missions in places like Tivland, the Doma land, and all that, the first thing I do when I get there, I just tell them, I write out a few words and say, give me these words in your dialect. Give me God. Give me salvation. Give me. So as I'm preaching in English and they're interpreting for me, I'm inculcating those terms in my. Sometimes they even laugh because the way I will say it. But I'm just trying to show them, I want to be able to come. I want to get to you. So it's not, you come, you don't go to evangelism because you're trying to preach, you start preaching, speaking big things that nobody asked you. Come down to their level. So there are a few things I still remember in some languages. Those days, the one I learned, is it Idom, I'll be where? They say, oh, do I have yerin? That's the first thing I say, what is God bless you? Your dialect. Did I say it well? Which language is that? Did I say it well? No, it's fine. I understand. But I learned it. I learned it in 2010. That's 15 years ago now. So for me to still say it, I'm trying. I learned Yesu Kato. What does that mean? Jesus is Lord. So you see me preach, I say, you have to receive Jesus, and Jesus will become Yesu Kato in your life. And they will laugh. But I'm trying to send a message. So, are you get what I'm talking about? You come down, you're not trying to do Greek, Hebrew, German, or you're trying to sound big. As simple, even if you are speaking wrong English. The gospel is that powerful. It's that powerful. It's that powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And one thing we see Jesus do again. Jesus did not hold back to use the supernatural. The fact that you are preaching on the go doesn't mean, you see the way he simply, naturally used the word of knowledge. Go and call your husband. You know, when you begin to preach on the go like that, you might not have time to do all your shamara, marama. I see three men around you. Just random. Go and call your husband. He said, I don't have enough. I said, well, you are right anyway. You have about five. Random. So do not hold back. You could just be talking and you say, you know, even as I'm preaching to you, I just feel that, do you have a pain on your back? He says, well, can I pray for you? The power of God doesn't need a microphone to work. It doesn't need a hall. It doesn't need an organized system to work. As you are talking and interacting, don't hold back the anointing. It could just be as you are walking, taking a walk with someone on the road. Say, can I share with you? He said, yes. You know, what I feel believers should not be ashamed to stop people and preach the gospel to them. I feel so for real. Because the way people stop to talk to you, even as a girl, to check you. Do you see the boldness of some of these guys? Yes. They are very bold boys. You're wondering, you say, am I the one they're talking to? And that's the same boldness. Are you getting the point? That same boldness. That same boldness. And when you are doing that, you preach the gospel, manifest the power of God. While I just having another conversation, see, you know, I just feel that. I just know by the Spirit. Sister, is there anything like this in your house? Sometimes not even use sister. Because, I mean, you can be as natural as you can be. Person said, oh, what's your name? He said, my name is Ngozi. It's okay. NG, yeah. You mentioned my article for the person, but call the person NG. Say, NG, you know that I was just praying and as we were just talking, I just felt that there's something really bothering you in your home. That the other person said, ah, yes, yes, yes. And you minister the power of God. I know what I'm talking about. Don't hold back the anointing. Don't hold back. Jesus, even though it was a random conversation, it wasn't a crusade. Yet he said, you've had, you know, the power of God does not always have to be dramatic. It doesn't always have to be spectacular. It can be normal. If you don't even pay attention to this scripture, you would think that Jesus, you will not even know that Jesus just ministered by the Spirit there. You can't call your husband. Say, you know, say it's true, self. You had five. That woman now said, ah, I perceive that you're a prophet. I perceive that you're a prophet. Praise God. I've told you guys how I've ministered to a lady who had a death sentence hanging over her. But you know that story, right? Because she had gone to meet a native doctor and all of that. And it was in a vehicle. Just like that. On the go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Carry this mindset. And the next, last thing I'm going to talk about today is that after Jesus preached to that woman, he wasn't in a hurry to go. The woman dropped her water pot and left. And Jesus waited for her. Jesus never did ministry in a hurry. What I mean is, he didn't just preach to that woman and let her go. The woman said, wait, I'm coming. Dropped her water pot and left. Jesus waited until she went and come up and get back. Jesus stayed back in that place 2 days. Like he canceled. I'm telling you how told the matter with Jesus. He canceled where he was going to and stayed there 2 extra days before he continued. Because people were willing. So you see, that's where we talk about follow up and discipleship after preaching. So the fact that you met the person on the go doesn't mean you let the person go. Right? So you meet the person on the go, but you stay back. Sometimes get the person's contact, interact with the person. Because, like I always say, you do not just want the person to answer and born again. You want to make sure that the person begins to grow and become solid. So you see what Jesus did to that woman? So what was the proof that the woman really believed what Jesus said? She went to the community and began to gather other people. So most times, because I always say, we actually don't see people's hearts. We can finish preaching, and because they want us to leave them alone, they will just tell you, I believe. You really can't know, because you're not God, you're not Holy Spirit. How we can only confirm is that we stay on them till they begin to produce certain fruits, till we see them come to church, till we see them begin to grow, till we see them speak in tongues, till we see them begin to, we can answer, okay. I get the point. I'm not saying, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that people need to live a certain lifestyle to be born again. Faith in Jesus is enough. But I'm saying that actually, sometimes, looking at people can pretend anything they want to pretend. They can make you feel, oh, I believe. For instance, this is why my secondary school, some of you answered altar call more than 556 times. Once they preach in the assembly, how many of you want to be born again? All the students, wow. Most times, some really got born again there, but some never did. Some never did. Some don't even know what they preached. Because all their friends are raising up their hand, especially JS1 and JS2 students, some of them raise up their hand. I do secondary school a lot. So sometimes it is now, and that's why when I go for school visitation, some of you that I'm a leader of Champions Foundation, so we do school visitations a lot. So when we finish, I always encourage people, don't finish preaching and go. You know why? I understand that all those hands they were raising up in that place might actually be nothing. It's now when you stay back and you begin to interact with them. I get to the point. You now begin to form the life of Christ in them. So Jesus didn't just finish with that woman and then say, okay, where is that food you guys bought? Maybe before the woman could come back from going to God, people, he has disappeared. He waited. And when they came, they said, stay for 2 days. Stay more. He said, fine. Let's go. Imagine Jesus was the soul winner through and through. He changed where he was going to. And went and stayed for like 2 days. What do you think he was doing in those 2 days? Strengthening their hands. Are you following me? So a soul winner must not always wait for evangelism time. As you are going home tonight, you can win a soul on the road. As I'm leaving for work tomorrow morning, you can wait a so long to go. As you're coming back, even if you're tired, I said it's not about your emotions. As you are taking a stroll in your estate, on your street, you can win a soul on the road. Right? As you meet some new workmates and you guys are interacting, you can win a soul. As you go to school, you can win a soul. It doesn't take, because to make evangelism look like it's, you have to tie your scarf and dress a certain way. So like carry your Bible, say, boy, we came to preach the gospel to you. We do that too. But it's not limited to that. Because if we limit it to that, it means out of the whole, how many hours you find in a week, 24 times 7, it means you only preach for like, even if you do 2 hours daily, you only preach for 14 hours. Even if you are faithful with 2 hours daily. But with this method, apart from the fact that you'll be going for all those 2 hours evangelism, you can preach to sometimes 5 people in one day. I know what I'm talking about. And yet, you're not on missions. You're just going about your daily life. Are you following me? Sometimes it's where some of you that are teachers, a certain student just comes around you and begins to say, auntie, preach the gospel. You're a pharmacist, you're a doctor. There's persons, patients are coming. Trust the Lord that before I leave here today, every day, I'm going to be able to share the gospel with 1 or 2 persons today. Maybe a patient, maybe a patient's relative. I get what I'm talking about. And you are demonstrating the power of God while at it. There is nobody that interacts with people that will say he cannot preach the gospel. Nobody. Sometimes take some ministry trips. Decide to enter bus from Gariki to Holy Ghost just because you want to meet 1 or 2 people and preach to them. When you get to Holy Ghost, stop, enter another bus, going to New Heaven. I'm telling you. So have you done it? Can I tell what I've not done? Just kidding. And sometimes, these days, I don't like preaching to the whole bus. I've done that a lot. I like it. But sometimes, I just trust the Lord. You know, I do this every time I'm traveling. If I'm not going to preach the entire bus, I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I trust that the person, even till now when I fly, I still do it. That the person that will be my seat mate, that you help use me as an instrument to win this person to you. Now, that's when I'm not flying with my wife. Because when I'm flying with my wife is my seatmate. But when I'm flying alone, I always say, Father, pray that the person that will sit beside me. People can get born again while on transit. Are you following me? But it starts with you being conscious of that. Carry it in your heart. Be soul-winning conscious. Pray for souls every day. Prepare. If you are dressing up for work, when you carry your laptop and all of that, pick some tracks. That alone is the fact that you are conscious of it. Pick some tracks. And some of you that are not looking, you don't used to talking like me. Right? Some of you don't used to talking like me. You are even in a better, you are even more advantaged. The fact that you just dress your normal dressing. Because me, once I approach and I say, good evening, I want to say, this one a pastor. But you, I'm not saying you are indecent, but you get what I'm saying? You don't need to talk in like me. You used to just do your thing. Wear your jean, wear your polo. At least when you are talking, you know, when you wear your jean, wear your polo, and you're looking somehow, and you're preaching to people, they can relate with you. Because you guys connect in a certain way. Do not miss that opportunity. I strongly believe that when God brings a believer to certain places and certain relationships and certain contacts, part of the reason he's doing that is that I can preach the gospel to those people. Every time. So I don't know where you are in your life now. Tired, hungry, beaten. It's not an excuse not to preach the gospel. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a soldier of Christ. I always say it this way. He didn't tell him to enjoy hardness. He told him to endure it. We endure it because hardness should not last forever. I get what I'm saying? You endure it because it is for a season. He didn't say get used to it. He just said endure it. Right? So, I know you are going through hard times, but it's not going to last forever. But what you should not do is that because of your hard times, You say, no more preaching, no more church, no more this. Let me even understand myself first. No. No. So be on the go. Everywhere you find yourself. And I strongly believe that was one of the wisdom behind the Gideon International making pocket Bibles. So that people can put it in their pocket whenever they're going to preach to people. Pocket Bible was never meant to be anybody, any believer's Bible. That's your Bible, you carry. No. It is because, so as you're going, but today there are phones, right? So, but the idea then was everywhere you're going, even I never used Pocket Bible, I didn't believe in it, I don't understand it. I always had my big Bible. We call it, I'm not ashamed. You carry it everywhere. Be conscious of it. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. No matter what is going on in your life, if you're stepping out of your house, bear in mind that today God can use me to win a soul. Carry it in your mind. So that when you now get on the bus with someone, and some of you ladies have to actually be very smart. You sit in the same vehicle with a guy, and before you could say Jack, the person has said, hey, beautiful. What's your name? Don't be snobbish. Hey, what's your name? Say, yeah. My name is, what now? What's your name? Say, my name is this. And what's your name too? It's okay. I'm Nelson. You know, you're just looking so beautiful today. Say, well, thank you. Thank you. Now, so what do I do next? Take over the conversation. Where are you going to? Yes, I just want to go and say, ah, okay, your student's there. Oh, wow. It's okay. It's even good that we are talking, sir, because I was thinking of preaching the gospel to you. I want to share the word of God with you. Person will say, okay. Now, he's the one that wants to check you, so. And you go direct like that and preach the gospel. Now, the person sometimes is still thinking of how to meet you again. So, how do we see again? You say, I'm very busy, but if you come to church, we'll see. But you know what I want you to do as a sister? Believe that the word of God will be so sharp through you that when you preach, it will cut through their hearts and divert that their attention. Now, I've seen it happen. Now, I'm not a sister, so I've not been checked many times. Right? But now that sometimes you get on a vehicle, meet some ladies, some brothers can tell you, you are sure you are getting green light. The person is doing everything. But the only thing remains is for the person to open the mouth and ask you, why not take my number? And I like that kind of scenario. He never passes me by. Once I notice it, the Lord is praised. But the thing is, most times I observe when you are done with that ministry, and you guys keep talking, and you are deliberate about keeping the conversation around the gospel. That intention, even if it's still in the person, he will not say it too much. Yeah. And I don't know how it works for ladies, but for me, I've done it many times. It works. Maybe it's not the same for you people anyway. But I've seen it also. Trust the Lord that you're going to be able to preach and speak by the power of God, that the person will experience true salvation. I mean, not salvation that they used to explain. Salvation when there is a total change of interest, where the person from that moment begins to desire to be more for God. Where the person from that moment begins to desire, trust that, what I'm saying is, trust that as you are giving the person Jesus, that some passion in your heart will also be shared with that person. That he lives, because that's one of the prayers I pray. Anybody I preach to leaves that place wanting to be more, wanting to know more. Put it in your prayers. That anybody I speak to will leave that place, because once you preach to someone and the person leaves that place wanting to be more, and to know more. Follow-up job is done almost by 70% or less than 30%. I feel what I'm saying. Because as you're now calling the person is eager to be more, eager to know more. So trust that no matter how you preach, that word will be so powerful that it will get to their heart. And as you're around them, you tell the person, you know what? Now that you've received Jesus, I really believe. Now let me tell you this. Tell the person, I really believe that you can be more for God. I really believe that God can use you. So why do you say that? Because God actually wants to use everybody.
and God can use everybody. So you're not even saying that thing as a prophet. You are talking because you know the character of God. I really believe that God wants to use you. And I kind of feel strongly that if you make yourself available, that God will use you mightily for His glory. And that's why I'm going to ask you to make yourself available, you know, for church and other things I'm going to give you to do. Read your Bible, pray, be available to church. Because I strongly believe that this is the beginning of a journey and you are going to be more for God. You know what I've also observed? Every human being, at one time or the other in their life, there must have been a time when you felt this passion in your heart to be more for God. It happened to everybody, Abi. At what, whether you're in maybe in secondary school, at different times, because there is a yearning in the heart of man for his creator. There's a yearning for in the heart of man for his creator. So you tell the person, when you tell the person you're hitting a chord in the person's heart, I want to believe that as you receive Jesus now, I strongly believe that God wants to use you. And you're going to be more. I don't know whether, I'm not saying he's calling you to do ministry or anything. I'm just saying I feel that God wants, you're going to be more for God. And I just wanted to make it available. And that's why I'm inviting you to church and all of that. Do not just win a soul and let the person go. Stay there. Now, see, most times we say, invite people to church, get 10 souls, 2 souls saved in a week, in a month. Look at what I believe. If you really do ministry on the go, you will lose count of the number of souls you win. I'm just telling you the truth. If you do ministry on the go, the reason is you are still able to calculate, I want 30 souls. If you do ministry on the go, every time you will lose count. Imagine from Monday, as you're leaving here tomorrow, leaving next tomorrow, you're preaching, talking to people everywhere. Before Sunday, you have at least 10 people on your list that are trying to follow up, to follow you to church. Actually. Or even 5. Even if you do once daily, that's 5. Are you following me? Yeah, you're going to have a lot of souls saved. So, you see, I am busy. It's not an excuse for ministry, for not doing ministry. Just put it in your everyday life. Now, I'm not trying to say you don't come out of evangelism. Or get the point. You shouldn't replace that. I've told you, coming out for those scheduled evangelism times is a proof of your intentionality. And it's actually always very necessary. The fact that we teach you, for instance, to pray on the go. You know, I teach you to pray on the go. Sometimes when you are moving, just be praying. It shouldn't replace your personal prayer time. It should complement it. So you preach the gospel everywhere. Start from this night. Start from tomorrow when you get to class. When you get to your workplace. When you step out of your door and you're stretching yourself, talking to people, start. And that's why I'm going to encourage many of you. If you are here, your time in your life where you don't have things that take you out a lot. Some of you, morning to night, you're inside your room. I'm asking you to change. Sometimes get up and just walk around. Yes. Say why? To preach the gospel. And you can't even do more. You know, one of the ways to advance in anything you are doing, anything, business, anything, is to meet new people. The more you meet new people, the more progress you make in any area of life. Are you aware of what I'm saying? That's the truth. So sometimes just come out, walk around, preach to people, share the gospel with them, minister to them. The joy you will feel, I've always taught you, when you preach the gospel to people, first, the Bible says there is joy in heaven. Secondly, there is joy that is tears in the heart of the receiver. But you know what else? It also gives you joy. So it's like the people are happy, you are happy, God is happy, everybody is happy. So even if you've not eaten, you will still be happy. So Jesus preached to that woman and lost appetite for food. Say, I have food, I have meat that you do not know of. And I'm going to close with the way he closed in that story. He told them, not the way he closed, rather the instruction he gave them. He told them, you say is how many months and then harvest. He said, but I tell you, the harvest is ripe. I want to announce to you, the harvest is ripe. Let me tell you what that simply means. What that means is that there are many, you know, ripe, when they say mango is ripe, what does it mean? It is ready to be plucked. There are many people ready to receive Jesus than you know. And you might not preach them. They might not look it all. They might be living carelessly, but they are ready. In my experience with evangelism, I can tell you that sometimes
The people you write off are the most responsive. So the harvest is ripe in many places. Many people are ready. And you might be so shocked at what God will do. I say this to my people all the time. You know, I'm a blessing to you today. Some of you feel there is no other man of God on earth apart from Pastor Henry. Sometimes I have to tell my people, I'm not the best pastor on earth. They say, we know you are the best pastor. Do you know why? It's not because there's anything special about me. The only thing special about me is the call of God. But I'm saying, most times, it is because God has sent me to you. In my experience in ministry, I found out that there are some people that everybody will preach to, and they will not respond to the person. But once they hear your voice, something clues them. Trust God to send you to those kind of people. People that your own voice will drag them. Don't be bothered that people have been trying to reach them. I always believe that I'm the one that will win people. When I was in school, when once they start saying, those boys, don't they hear what? I'll say, who are they? Show me. Let me can talk to them. I kind of believe that God has sent you some people. And if my path crosses with you, it's because God sent me to you. So trust God that even if there have been 30 people that they've rejected, that when I come, they will listen. And I've actually observed there are people that you are sent to. I can tell you this thing. There are people that everybody can be preaching to, they will not listen. They will, but now, at first, you might not even know why they're listening to it. But at first, you might feel, well, maybe because I'm a fine boy. Or maybe because they just like me. But you just find out, something just keeps them following. Those days when I started ministry, when I was very young, I had a lot of followership from guys, but then many ladies too. Because I was in a school environment, a school of ladies, you know, ladies school and all that. And, you know, I used to feel, all these people, they just like me. Sometimes I used to feel I was fine. That's why. But you know, recently I look at those pictures. I look at my pictures those days. I say, Jesus Christ. So as I want to call some of the people who don't have taste. If people like this guy, sometimes it's not because of any physical anything. The physical thing might be the thing that got them interested. But listen, there is something God puts in you as a preacher of the gospel that wants people to, the anointing attracts people. That's why we pray that prayer when we're starting. They may not know why they're coming. So maybe coming because, oh, you're a fine girl. Someone has become, but the anointing draws them. It should draw them. So trust that through you, many will come to Jesus and many will be discipled. You preach on the go. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? It's time we are going to pray one prayer in addition to the prayers we prayed when we were starting. You're going to pray and say to the Lord, Father, I receive supernatural boldness. First, the passion to do this and the boldness to do it. And a couple of you are afraid. But you know, it's okay to be afraid sometimes. But the believer doesn't have fear in him. So whenever you feel fear, what do? You pray. Ask for. They prayed and they asked the Lord that the Lord will help them to preach with boldness. And when they prayed that prayer, I would say they preach with boldness and signs and wonders were done. Pray that prayer. Father, I receive the passion and the boldness to speak the word. Wherever I'm found. Please pray wherever you are. Pray wherever you are. Boldness. I wish you can pray with everything in you. That limiting fear is hereby dealt with. That limiting anxiety is hereby dealt with. Hereby dealt with. I receive and I enjoy boldness by the Spirit of God. Boldness by the Spirit of God. Please pray. One of it is fear. It is how to start. But God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of timidity. God has made you bold. He has made you bold. That you can be able to walk up to anybody you want to walk up to. He has made you bold. He has made you bold.
He has made you bold. Shabarande lakaya. Pray. That the boldness that Jesus gives, oh, is very strong. That I preach with boldness. That expression of audacity that comes from the Spirit of God begins to gain much more expression. Please pray. As you are praying, those fears, that timidity is jumping off you, jumping out of you. It's jumping out. There are some of you that the Lord has put in your heart to preach to people in your area, but you've been afraid. Pray now. As you pray, that boldness is jumping into you. That fear is leaving you. That cloak of fear that the enemy has thrown over you, that has stopped you, it's hereby cast off as you pray. You are praying and you are affirming, Lord, I have boldness by the Spirit. I affirm that I have supernatural boldness. I have supernatural boldness. Pray. The Lord is filling you with new strength, new vigor, new passion, new boldness, fresh vigor, fresh passion, fresh audacity. To be able to do all that He has put in your hearts to do. To be able to be all He has made you to be. As a soul winner. That you will win souls in your 10s. In your 20s. Many of you have pictures in your heart. You wish you can. But I'm telling you now that you can. And boldness is rising afresh. Some of you remember when you were bolder to approach people and preach. Now that boldness is getting stronger now. It's getting stronger. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines stronger and stronger. That's how your boldness will be. You will not have a better yesterday. You will not remember when you used to be bold. You will get bolder every day. Bolder to approach people. To engage them. And the Lord said, I should say, as you are praying for boldness, He's giving you wisdom too. Wisdom. That for everybody you meet, you receive the wisdom with which to address that person. Which you speak to the person, you receive the wisdom. The wisdom. We will know the right words to say. The right ways to say them. The right ways to get started. Please pray, church. I receive boldness, I receive wisdom. That no matter who I meet, I will know how to get started. Whether a doctor, a soldier, an atheist, a cultist, I will just know how to get started. I receive boldness in your spirit. Boldness is my reality. I will be used by the Lord to win many. Oh, yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Bible tells us that when the apostles prayed, the place where they were was shaken. And they preached the word of God with boldness. With boldness. And that's our experience. And they had many signs and wonders. You know why there will be signs? Because most times when you go with boldness, miracles will follow. Yeah. Because one character of spiritual demonstrations is boldness. When you cast out demons, you must do it boldly. When you preach gospel, you must do it boldly. And God has blessed you with that boldness. So go forth this week and see men come to Jesus. I said, see men come to Jesus. The Lord will use you mightily. I said, the Lord will use you mightily. From your environment, from your classes, to your offices, the Lord will use you mightily. From this July and beyond, you begin to count in your tens of men that you've brought to the Lord. In your hundreds. It will be easy. It will be easy. It will be easier than you thought. In the name of Jesus. That blessing is upon you now. And you will come back with much results. In Jesus' name we pray. So let's give the next 6 months to much more soul winning. So that it won't be every January we are writing new resolution, I'm going to win souls. I just give you a simple way. Amen. Every day. So if you really want to do it, you will do it. Amen. So every Sunday, every Thursday, we want to receive testimonies. Written testimonies first of people you want to the Lord. Every week. And they want to see them too growing. Want to see you come along with them every Thursday, every Sunday. I want to be able to receive mails like, I was on the road after that we finished preaching. I just spoke to one person. We want to hear those things. Are you following me, friends? We want to hear those things. So you get on the street, you will have results, and we'll be here to celebrate those results with you. Are we going to do that? Are we going to do that? Say, I'm a soul winner. What's the Greek word for that? Sam Eke Russo. Hallelujah. God bless you. Are you blessed? Amen. Be seated.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.